Log Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is Pro Wrestling Interviews. And it's a monument to our man, the Amazing Velvet, who started this. And he has been such an inspiration to us. And we wish him the absolute best. And tonight's show is dedicated to Saint Cyprian of Antioch, a saint in the Eastern Orthodox Church who I personally love. And we're so glad that Saint Cyprian is the man that we're dedicating this show to tonight. First of all, our co-hosts are Todd Saxon from Indianapolis, Indiana. How are you doing, Todd?
Doing outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. Happy spring. We made it into spring, people.
We really did, and it was absolutely beautiful here. It was like, I don't know, 75 degrees and sunny and gorgeous here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and it was just a godsend to have such a great day in Myrtle Beach. And from Richmond, Virginia, the one, the only, Steve Logan, Professor Wrestling, Stellar Steve. He's everything. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
Great. Had a busy day and weekend in Richmond at a convention, so fun times. Lots to talk about tonight.
Well, that's great, and we're going to ask you about that early on. And from 803-413, none other than, who is this?
Do you want to guess?
This is the greatest, in my opinion, and in Ric Flair's opinion, the greatest lady wrestler of all time. And we are so thrilled to have the great Susan Green on with us. So how are you doing tonight, Susan Green?
I'm doing really well. I did a WrestleCon or Fan Fest when the Hardy Boys were there and Ricky Steamboat and Anderson and his son, so I got to meet some newcomers and see some old timers.
Well, that's great. Where was that?
Clove, South Carolina, which is a stone throw outside of Rock Hill. When we went through Rock Hill, Amazing Velvet picked me up and I rode with him and I thought, where are we going? You know, because we were going down some roads, and it's like we hit towns, and then we was in the boondocks. But they had a heck of a turnout. They had over 1,000 pre-sale tickets, and the Hardy Boys were running a little bit late, but when they showed up, things went wild.
They went crazy, I'm sure. Well, that's great. We're so glad to have you here tonight. And from Emerald Isle, North Carolina, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time from North Carolina, and a very good friend of mine, the one, the only Papa Stro Maestro. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, great to be here with you all. I was at the Power Comic Con yesterday in Florence, South Carolina. It was a good time, and thank you to everyone at the Power Comic Con and the cast and crew of the Devil's Daughter for having me. It's a good time. But great to be here with you guys. I know we have a lot to talk about tonight.
We certainly do. And so all I got to say is thanks to everybody. Thanks to all, we have four co-hosts, and it can't be any better because all of you are such great friends, great wrestlers, great personalities. And so now, Steve Logan, you said you wanted to tell us a little bit about your weekend, so tell us about it, and then we're going to hit Susan Green, and then we're going to hit Papa Stro, and then maybe by 9:30, maybe halfway down, we'll get to talk about wrestling, but we're going to let everybody share their great weekend. And by the way, I will say this. I was not at PowerCon. I called Greg Bowe, and I told him to tell everyone that I couldn't make it because I was not feeling well. I I was under the weather. So anyway, all right, Steve Logan, what's going on?
Yeah, just recovering from the weekend. Had a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday night there was a wrestling panel for the wrestlers that do cosplay wrestling, and some of them were AEW or WWE, former WWE talent alumni that does the fantasy super cosplay. That was super fun, hearing Gangrel stories and hearing stories about their senior referee and asking them about their influences. Leva Bates from AEW was also on the panel. And then Saturday at 4:45, there was an All Elite Wrestling women's panel with four of the women's wrestlers in their division that were there at the convention. And so got to ask them about being a women's wrestler, how difficult it can be, and especially being compared to the men and the women from other divisions, like WWE and Stardom in Japan. And, they were super interesting to listen to. And Saturday there was a panel with Leva Bates she did with the comic book writer. I didn't see that one, but I did see that she was hosting the costume contest that night. That was pretty cool. And then but I did see a few actors over the weekend. Harvey from What We Do in the Shadows, Giancarlo Esposito from Mandalorian, which women's wrestler Sasha Banks was on too, so there's the wrestling connection there. But and Dana Slander from several animated shows. But it was super fun weekend. Lots of fun talking to the actors and women's wrestlers over the weekend. And I did have a question for Susan Green, if she's listening. Who would you say is the greatest female wrestler of all time? Because we already know Dr. John thinks that you're the greatest woman wrestler of all time, but who do you think is the greatest woman's wrestler of all time besides yourself?
The most influenced female wrestler
the greatest women's wrestler in general. Like, who would you think is the greatest?
Let's go back to the 40s. I would say Jean Byers. And she was that woman, Mildred Burke. I learned a lot from her, which a lot of people don't know, that I'd left Moolah's school and went out and worked for Mildred Burke whenever I was broke away and started driving a tractor trailer at 19 years old. And then I decided if I was going to die, I was going to die doing something I wanted, and that was in the ring, because my brakes went out on the semi. Coming down a hill in Denver, Colorado, you don't have a whole lot of choice but to pray. But June Byers, she sat there and tried to talk me out of coming out to the East Coast, but understood why, because nobody else could offer me full-time wrestling. And back in the day, if you wasn't one of Moolah's girls, you didn't get to wrestle in the States unless a week here, a week there, that they couldn't. Not that they couldn't, but they wouldn't book the girls like they did the guys. Terry Funk up in North Texas, Dory Funk, I shouldn't say Terry, Dory Sr., he had his territory, and he said, I can use you 2 or 3 weeks out of the year. Harley Race could use you 2 or 3 weeks out of the year in Kansas, and Bob Geigel maybe a couple of weeks there in Kansas, and Joe Blanchard down in South Texas, and Fritz Von Erich a couple of weeks. So, you was looking at maybe 12 weeks out of the year that you'd get to wrestle. But June Byers, she sat there and said, when you step in the ring, walk to the beat of your own drum, but she back in the day, if you watched their wrestling, it was basically what they'd call a shoot. You know, it was, you know, the better girl won. The promoters didn't tell them who to win and who not to win like they do today. The women, and that's why June was undefeated, and they had three world champions in female wrestling because they wouldn't fly the women around to defend the one world belt. So Mildred Burke was out on the West Coast, Midwest, and June Byers was in the central part. And I have not been able to find who helped the East Coast. I know it was not Moolah. Moolah had that belt made. Actually, her name is imprinted on her belt, and she won it in Baltimore, Maryland, and it the date on it. But it's one of those that, and she actually had a fast count on Jude Myers in Baltimore, Maryland, to win her own belt that she hadn't made. So that might be a little history that nobody knows. But June Byers, she definitely walked the beat of her own drum. You know, if someone sat there and said, well, this is this kid's hometown, it's like, well, if she can beat me, but I'm not letting her have the belt. So back in the day, the female wrestlers were expected to fight. They might be told how long to stay in the ring, but the better girl won.
Susan, if I may, I actually, the women that I talked to earlier were Britt Baker, Leva Bates, Ruby Soho, and Chris Statlander. And I did see a Bray Wyatt cosplayer, and we ended up talking about Black Jack Mulligan because this guy was an older fan, and he had a really good Bray Wyatt cosplay. He was Black Jack's grandson, I believe. And so yeah, I mentioned you to other people there, so I had you in my thoughts as I saw the wrestling fans around at the convention.
I call him Bob because that's what I was introduced to him as, Bob Windham, and whenever he left South Texas and went up to the AWA for Vern Gagne when he became the Black Jack. We trained together, and you know, we had to do our 5 mile runs in the morning before the training started, and then we trained for 7.5 hours nonstop in the Texas heat inside a metal building with no air. So the way they get to train today is not the way we trained in the old days. You know, and we're talking
amen,
about
amen to that.
Yeah.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I go into a building that doesn't, in my gym that I train in and train people in, I don't have air and I don't have fans. And I sit there and say, you know, when we talk old school, if it's hot, you drink plenty of water. I'll give you time to get water to drink to stay hydrated. And if it's cold, you work out harder to get warm.
Yeah.
But there's going to be some places you go, and I know in Japan, when I was over there, in the winter months, and like in January when I was there, they didn't have heat in the building, so you got out there and fought to get warm. And in the summer, you prayed to God they had a window open, that there'd be a cross breeze coming across, you know, because they didn't have fans and they didn't have air. But when you was up in the mountains of Japan, 120 wasn't nothing to be inside the building he was in.
Wow.
But, yeah. And it's one of those things, if I had to do what they did, I wouldn't have made wrestling in today's world. But if they had to do and go through what I went through, they'd have dropped out the first week of training because back in the 60s, it wasn't make that girl because she's kin to this one or she's that one's daughter. It was make her not want to be in it. You know, so when you was training it as a female, and it didn't matter what you looked like. You didn't have to be the Barbie doll. You know, if you had the will, take the punishment, then you've got to step in the ring. You know, you've got the glory of being put out, you know, put in the ring. But I can sit there and say for the first almost 3 years, I got out on the East Coast here and started working for under Lillian Ellisor's Gorilla Wrestling School on June the 5th, and they had I was there 5 days, and I put my mother back on the plane to go back to Texas, and when I drove back in and Lillian saw my car, it was like, I thought your mother left, and I said, that's my car. Well, that Monday I was in Savannah, Georgia, wrestling for the week, and when Charlie Smith came by and said, baby over, it was like, what's she talking about? Because for all the time that I worked for Joe Blanchard and Terry Funk and Harley Race, I had no idea that those women beat the living tar out of me. I went back to school because I was a junior in high school. I started the summer before my junior year. And my school would sit there and said, if I missed a day of school because of wrestling, I'd be expelled. So, but I also swam and played tennis for my school. So they expected me to still be able to compete in my school and what I was chosen to do in school, but not doing my life what I wanted to do is my dream. I wasn't even old enough to have a driver's license, so my sisters or brother was driving me to Galveston, Texas, or Amarillo, Texas, and people don't realize Amarillo from Corpus Christi was almost 900, well, a little over 900 miles. And then Joe put me against Mae Young in 69, and I went out to Phoenix, Arizona to wrestle her. So that was a heck of a trip to turn around and come back and be in school on Monday morning, because I left right after school on Friday to get there to wrestle her on Saturday. My brother left right after we finished wrestling and drove back to where I was ready to go to school Monday morning. And I think I was on crutches because she twisted my knee. And, of course, tennis coach wasn't happy and swimming coach wasn't happy, but I was there. So, you know, the days of the 60s and 70s, and when I got out here and Charlie Smith and referee sat there and said that, it was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because they never let me dress in the same dressing room.
If I may, I have another question. This is more okay. Current. How do you feel about women doing cage matches and hardcore type matches where they have thumbtacks and bleeding and cage matches involved? Because we just recently saw Thunder Rosa have a brutal cage match with Britt Baker, and I think people are really positively receiving it. But how do you feel about women taking thumbtacks and cage matches and bleeding a lot?
I don't believe in thumbtacks. I had them want me to do thumbtacks back in the 90s, and I said I will not, because you don't realize. I mean, I do know that they use the little short thumbtacks, so they just pierce, but that thumbtack can always hit a nerve in an elbow or a knee or on the spine, because your spine's not that deep, especially around the neck. And you can get permanent damage from those thumbtacks. That I'm totally against, and I had it offered to me, and I sat there and said, you'll have to find somebody else. You know, I'll do whatever you want. But cage match, I had a cage match back in the 70s. It was what it was. But the one match that I haven't seen them bring girls back, and I wrestled Evelyn Stevens in one in the Hemisphere Arena in San Antonio, and it was a scaffold match. Scaffold was 20 foot over the ring, and of course when you're 20 foot up in the air and you look down an 18 foot ring, it looks like a little mattress laying down there that you're trying to land on, because that 18 foot ring from 20 foot high don't look very big at all. And it was whoever stayed alive on the scaffold, and she actually slipped and fell off the scaffold. It was going to be a time limit, and when she fell, I started praying that she landed right, you know, and luckily she ended up getting a twisted knee, and people had sent me pictures of where whenever I came down off the scaffold, they saw me bending down or kneeling down and praying, and I'm sure I was praying that I'm not the one that fell, you know, that my life was saved. I didn't even like the guys having the scaffold matches, and whenever I was booked in it, I didn't realize how 20 foot high above the ring was going to be until I got 20 foot high above the ring and looked down. But some of the matches they have don't make any sense. I do know that they're expecting the women to do the same thing that they're doing the men. The cage match, I had my share with Rhonda Singh before she was Bertha Faye, and had them overseas in India and in South Africa with her. So they were wanting basically to see the monster caged, and all. But it's in the day they wasn't expecting all the brutality and for it to be entertaining in their organization. To me, they're taking, quote, the entertaining part away to put that kind of hardcore match in for the women. I had my fair share, and I've had people ask me, you know, and I sit there and said, I'll take whatever they want to book me, because I still do am active. But I haven't had anybody ask me about cage matches. And the one match that I don't like is whenever they do the Indian strap match or the dog collar. You know, I guess I don't like the dog collar match because my neck was broke and I don't want anything around my neck for them to be jerking on because it was broke.
And you certainly don't want ladder matches either. I know Ruby Soho. She mentioned TLC. A TLC match was one of her favorites, but she said ladders are not her favorite.
Yeah. You know, a table I can see, but a ladder, that's just asking for an accident and an injury to happen that is not recoverable from. You know. You might see them land on their back and they're taking a pretty flat bump, but that ladder, it's not hitting you flat. You know, you got the dips and the ladder steps not being where you're landing, and then it landing across where the spine's at. It's some of the younger ones don't realize how fast they can cut their career short. Yeah.
I remember pulling the Ringo one time in a ladder match where I'm climbing up the ladder, right? And I didn't realize how high up the prize was, if you will. And it was like this huge ladder. And I got halfway up and I looked down and see how far it was. And I just kind of looked around and I just climbed back down the ladder. I was like, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. I would have did the same thing in the scaffold match if I'd have had the opportunity, but I got up there and it was like, oh, no.
Right.
Yeah. But when you sit there and think, well, I'm going a 20-minute time limit, then, you know, we're going to both be safe up here. Evelyn Stevens lost her footing and fell. You know, it wasn't that I did anything. She lost her footing because 3 foot is not very – well, I guess it was 4 foot. It was a piece of plywood that they had going across 20 foot of the ring. But I sat there and said, 20 foot high and 4 foot was not a whole lot of room to be standing on.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
But I'd be like you, Strom. If I had to climb up a ladder, I'd be climbing right back down it when I looked down.
Yes.
My nerves is not that strong.
Mm-hmm. You don't mind either.
Amazing. Well, Susan, thank you for those reflections on what you did, and I want to turn it over to Papa Stroh to tell us what he's been doing, and then we're going to go back to more wrestling. Well, we're always about wrestling, pro wrestling interviews. And thank you, Susan, for everything that you said. Papa Stroh, what have you been doing?
What haven't I been doing? Oh my God, I've been so busy. I see myself coming and going lately. I just saw a preview to an upcoming hybrid film, and I'm really excited for it to be released soon. From my understanding, it's going to be a first of a few episodes of hybrid. So there will be more of hybrid come along even after this premieres. So really excited to check it out. It's a really cool, like, psychological story, and which I think you guys will really enjoy with its help.
Nice.
But got doing that. Got Charlotte Comic Con this Sunday at the Concord at Embassy Suites, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Looking forward to being at Charlotte Comic Con. Then I'll be in Marion the following weekend for the Marion Comic Con, Marion, North Carolina at the Municipal Center. Got that going on. I'm going to be on set soon for a horror sci-fi miniseries that will be out later on this year. So I'm excited to tell you more about it once we get everything together. And also going to be on set soon for a horror feature film. What I could say about it, it's along the lines of Halloween with a more a detective-type twist, if you will, about an urban legend. So I'd like to keep you guys informed about how that goes. And I got some. I'll be back on commentary next month for Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment, New Bern. I think it's middle April, April 19th, I believe, at the JC's Fairgrounds in North Carolina. Congratulations, by the way, last night to the Shockwave show to the new heavyweight champ, Rock Richards, winning the Shockwave Heavyweight Championship. Congratulations, brother, for that. Things are going cool. I got some more film projects coming up. Some wrestling events coming up. I'll be back in action in the ring, actually, really, really soon. I have a surprise return coming up from one of the promotions. I don't want to give out any spoilers, but you'll find out when it happens. kayfabe still alive and well with me, man. I'll give you guys a full all the dates that's happening, and always a pleasure to be here with you all. Oh yeah, before I forget. This week, we're in the room podcast Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, VOCNation.com. This Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, VOC Nation will be WCW Retro. This Thursday's topic will be wrestling returns, like wrestlers make their big return back to wrestling, you know what I mean? So if you call in, give your feedback. Should be a lot of fun. And this Friday night on my home sci-fi zone, the Stroh Zone, facebook.com/JordanTheMaestro at midnight Eastern Standard Time. The feature for this Friday night will be The Last Man on Earth from back in the day. So please tune in.
That all sounds great, Papa Stroh. It really does. And we're always glad to join you with Number One Wrestling and horror and sci-fi. Those are things that you and I both love. So now, Todd Saxon, you have been quiet all night. You've been listening, I know. So what do you have to ask to this esteemed panel?
All were the news over the course of the last week or so. The I'm one of those people when I read my news spread, I always figure there's a minimal percent of truth in what I read, if you will, because you can have the same story and it can be done a bunch of different ways. One person will make it a mountain, another person will make it a molehill. And all I had heard was, you know, there were complications from a dadgum hip surgery with Scott Hall. And Papa Stroh had mentioned that it was more than complications on the show last week. And next thing I turn around and I started, so, you know, that made me listen a little more or look a little more. And to see how quick that happened.
Yeah, three heart attacks.
I think the cool thing was all the his former coworkers. You heard so many nice things said. I thought that was pretty cool. But what I think what impacted me is watch some of the stuff people having things going on in their lives. You know, I look at it. There's a guy that because so many people were aware of him and knew it, and you see how many people he impacted by folks that weren't necessarily part of the clique, if you will, that had such positive things to say about him. But it's just, you know, that tells you how quick things can go sideways, people. And you know I always try to end the show with, you know, take care of yourselves, take care of one another. That's kind of a good example because things happen fast. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I heard even worse details recently. So I would advise anybody with hip trouble or mobility to keep, if you don't have a phone on you, like, you know, invest in one of those emergency, you know, like a life alert type device. Because I had heard that Scott had taken a fall and he couldn't contact anybody right away. So it's horrible hearing that after the fact. But yeah, Scott
and
he was already experiencing heart issues before that.
He was already
exactly.
He was taking blood thinners.
I can mention a name that I met him when I was in Australia back in 71, Hans Schroeder. He took a fall, and he lived out in Lugoff, not too far from me. Was married to Lalani Tai, and he took a fall in his trailer, and it took him 5 days to drag himself to the back door to where his neighbor could see him because Lalani was on the road wrestling and had no idea that he had fallen. And then, but he had broke his hip and had to have hip replacement. But he came back from it, but he definitely needed to be able to get to a phone or needed a button to be able to push, and wasn't able to do either. But drag himself to the back door to where he could get the door open, and the neighbor, which happened to be a highway patrol, saw him laying and he sat there and hollered, "Are you all right?" And he said, "No, I need help." And you know, got the ambulance out to him to get him, and he did recover from that fall. But you know, he said, "I've been like this for a week." But I can say this: back in 2005, in September the 6th, I got home after being out in the sun all day at an event, and had a stroke when I got home the morning of the 6th. I did the event on the day of the 5th and the morning of the 6th. I got home and had a stroke, and I laid 14 days in my floor because I couldn't get to a phone and I couldn't talk. You know, didn't have a button to push either. So I learned the hard way, you know, and they actually called a friend of mine in Virginia to come check on me, and luckily she knew a neighbor that was about 2 acres away, and they called and came over. And actually, they had a key to my house to come in because we became good friends. But I'd had the stroke, and by the time they got me to the hospital, But if anything that could have happened had already happened, I was just in a position that I couldn't walk. You know, that I was paralyzed on the right side from the stroke. But luckily, you know, God blessing and watching over me, I recovered from that stroke and was able to come back in the ring. But not all of us are also that lucky, you know. But definitely I learned that I keep something handy by me to where if I fall, I got something to do.
Yeah, Susan, this is Dr. John, and I'll tell you what, you're exactly right. You gotta make sure that you can get in touch with someone, because I was very lucky when I had my stroke, and I was able to call out and everything. So you're very fortunate, and we're so glad you were. And by the way, we have the one and only Sinister. He is with us tonight. How are you doing, Sinister?
I'm doing great. How's everybody?
Doing good.
No, that's good, brother. Yeah.
We're so glad you're here. And what do you have? What kind of interesting information do you have that you'd like to share with us tonight?
Well, I like to go back to something Susan said about the way that her and you know her colleagues trained back in the day, which is very important. And she's absolutely right. A lot of the newcomers today, they wouldn't have made it back then. They would have automatically tapped out. And the reason I say that because, like, for example, there have been a lot of injuries recently in WWE and AEW where people are getting knee surgeries and, you know, concussion. Because, like, right now, Asuka from the WWE, she hasn't too long been released from the WWE because she couldn't rehab fast enough.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to actually train in the ring, go to the gym and get in shape. Because I'm not saying that you'll never get injured, but it won't be as threatening
the
as the injuries are today.
Back in our day, the females, we were not allowed to wear braces or knee pads. Back from the 60s through the 70s, it didn't matter how bad your knee was. You hobbled out, and you didn't put a knee brace on. You know, my knee, I tore the ACL and everything from a motorcycle wreck in 72. And I was barely able to hobble out to the ring, but I sat there and said, you know, when you got in front of the crowd, the show went on. You know, you walked out and prayed you didn't fall down before you got to the ring. But we weren't allowed, no matter how bad we were injured, you know, and they sat there and said, if you learned how to fall right, you wasn't going to get hurt.
And that's right.
The promoters would sit there and say the men come to see the women in a one-piece bathing suit. They come to see our legs and our arms. You know, they didn't expect us to have our midsection exposed or anything because we're in one-piece bathing suits. But they didn't expect us to have any knee pads or knee braces on. You know,
right.
The men were able to wear them, but because they thought the men fought harder than the women.
Yeah, I know Chris Statlander had a bad leg injury a while back. I'm glad she's still active, but for a while she was taken out.
Yeah. But, you know, back in the – now you get taken out if you pull a hamstring or you twist an ankle. But back in the day, we didn't have a guarantee. If you didn't get in the ring and wrestle, you didn't get paid. You know, and now you're on a guarantee and you might get less, but you're getting something because you're under contract. You know, you may not be getting the full pay that you would have got, but you are under a contract for 90 days. Or maybe 30. I know Rhonda Singh, whenever she signed, she had 90 days with WWF but to be Bertha Faye, which whenever she got out, Japan and Mexico had told her, you know, lose 50 pounds and we'll bring you back as a monster in the Ripper. which she ended up having a fatal heart attack, trying to get rid of the weight that she'd put on to be Dusty's partner, which is, it's sad that she had to put that weight on and had to put it on in bulky to where it was just 40 years old trying to get that weight off. It's a whole lot easier to put it on than it is to take it off.
Yes. You're so right.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. Yeah. I look at it now and it'll jump on me. Back in the day, it was like, it was hard to keep it on.
Yeah.
Mm. Someone tells me they lost 5 pounds and I said, well, I gained it. Yeah.
Yeah. The Monster Ripper, she was, I know that you said
she was
that
one.
You enjoyed wrestling with her so much, and she was brilliant, don't you think, Susan?
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, going out as the Monster and the Ripper, I traveled the world, you know, I tried to explain to her that the Cow Palace, or not the Cow Palace, that the Madison Square Garden was not going to be that big of an event for her whenever she wrestled there. And then she says, yeah, but, in my book, if once I wrestle the Madison Square Garden, I'm going to know that I made it in wrestling. And I said, Rhonda, you've already made it. You know, you just don't know how big you are because you're only seeing what you've done. But I said, you know, I was in India. I was in South Africa. I was in Ireland. I was, you know, we traveled a lot more places than just Puerto Rico and the few spots that got us on YouTube, but she was a bit, you know, she knew how to do what she had to do.
I have a question for Susan. I know this sport didn't get popular till the 90s in MMA, with MMA being popular till the 90s, but do you wish women's MMA as well as men's MMA had been around during your time as an active wrestler? Because it seems like, from what you say, wrestling was definitely a shoot. Do you think women's MMA would have been something you would have done if it had been decades prior to the 90s?
Well, MMA was basically around, but it was underground and it was done in bars. And we had no octagon. We had tables moved around and you basically nobody trained, you know. You was going into a bar and basically the boys would – the men or the women would sit there, the men would sit there and put their girlfriend up against the pro wrestler, you know, and then I sat there and I said, with me, they had put these 250, 240 pounders up against me, and I was 138 pounds. Well, I knew if I could outrun them or knock them down and trip them with leg sweeps and stuff that I knew how to do, that I could hook them and beat them, and you know, they just passed a bucket, and I said, sometimes you got $200 or $300, and I said, now I know that, because the promoter talked to me and asked me to try to get some girls from here over in Holland and Germany to do MMA, because they have a regular circuit over in I know Yukon Erica was from up in Vancouver, Canada, she's over there and made it because she couldn't make it in pro wrestling, or she didn't. But she started the MMA fighting over there. And theirs is not as strictly in supervised as it is over here, because they'll actually let you smother them and bite them. And I said, here, you know, I don't see any biting in the MMA. But I think the women would have went more into, would have had a lot more women in the MMA because wrestling was such a shoot, and with the MMA fighting, we could have made more money. You know,
I told you, son of a gun, you were doing Fight Club before it was a movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'd go into a bar and just, you know, you'd just sit there and say, you're gonna make $200 if you're able to beat this girl. Well, I can outrun her and knock her down enough that she can't have no breath, and then I can hook her in the front face lock and choke her out, you know. So, you know, I knew what I had to do at 130 pounds.
That's why when people
then,
say
about the only place we
the first time,
find
you know,
was in
everything
Florida.
Do your homework.
Yeah. But the only place it really took place was down in Florida. You know, you didn't find it in any of the other states. You know, whenever I went into Florida, I could find somebody that would have, they'd call me and say, come out here, you know, get away from the other girls. You'll be able to pick up $200 or $300 for, and I sit there and said, you know, hell, picking that up, I'd end up taking 2 or 3 matches and I'd have $500 or $600 in my pocket that
oh, right.
Nobody knew about. You know, just me.
Yeah.
So, but I know the training, we have 2 or 3 schools around here for the MMA fighters and all, and they pay an awful lot for their training. And, of course, the gyms are set up for them to be able to do the training. So it's amazing what's going on and what they're getting paid. I think the true, the Mildred Burks and the June Byers and Ida May, I think they would have easily stepped into MMA if it would have been back then, because it was a shoot when we were fighting, so it wouldn't have been much different. And they'd have been able to make, of course, they probably wouldn't be making what they're making now, but, you know, they've been able to pull in a little more money than what they pulled in as a wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's amazing, Susan. It really is. And wanted to thank you for that. And I'll tell you what, we're at the point that we want everybody to tell us what they've got going on, and from Susan to Papa Stroh to Sinister to Steven to Todd, and I might even add a few things to me. So let's go in order. Will, okay, Sinister, what have you got going on?
Right now, nothing in particular. You know, I'm just still waiting for the opportunity, so that's about it for me.
Okay, that's cool. All right, Susan Green, what have you got going on?
Well, I just got news. I did actually a film where they took all my documentary of all the stuff that I've done since 69 and letters and pictures the out in the ring that it should be, I should be hitting the movies, and then they're going to be taking me out for the grand openings, and it would be bigger than what Moolah had whenever she put the lipstick and dynamite out. You know, that we're not going to hit the little Nickelodeons, that we're going to major movies to have the movie put out. And, you know, it's been being produced out in Hollywood and then from Canada. And also I sat there and said, they called me and said, you know, they're in the final touches of that. And other than that, I'm waiting for this broke leg and ankle and ligaments to heal to where I can get back in the ring.
Well, that's great. We can't wait to have you back in the ring. It'll be absolutely marvelous.
Yeah,
and Papa Stroh, what have you got? What Papa Stroh, what have you got going on?
Well, I'll make it just for this week because I got to put this stuff up. But this WCW Retro Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're talking wrestling returns. So if you have one you'd like to share, call in, please. Should be a good time. Friday night, the Stroh Zone at midnight Eastern Standard Time. The feature will be The Last Man on Earth from back in the day, So please tune in for that. True classic. And then Sunday, I will be at the Charlotte Comic-Con at the Embassy Suites in Concord, North Carolina from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'll be there with some of the cast and crew of The Devil's Daughter, Harlequin Story. They have a cosplay contest and everything going on there. So if you're in the Concord, Charlotte, North Carolina area, come see us. And the film's looking out for a hybrid. We're looking out for a hybrid soon. You can check out Stench of Iniquity with yours truly on Vimeo.com. Just go to Vimeo.com/Turnerverse. to check it out. You can watch it for free. And, of course, The Devil's Daughter, Harlequin Story is still playing on YouTube.com. Just type in The Devil's Daughter, Harlequin Story in the search. And also you can view it through Amazon Fire TV as well. And I'll keep you – I will miss sets in, like I mentioned, for a pilot for the miniseries as well as a new horror feature. So I'll keep you guys informed on that. But thank you for having me. It's always a great time here.
That sounds great. And we'll follow you, and we'll follow Susan, and we'll follow Sinister, and we'll follow everybody. Steve, what have you got going on?
Well, anybody listening in, please check out GalaxyCon or GalaxyCon in Richmond. It's definitely a fun convention and some good stars, panelists, guests, wrestlers. So check me out, Stiller Steven online. Yeah, so thanks for having me on Pro Wrestling Interviews. Definitely enjoyed calling in and spreading the word about Pro Wrestling Interviews at the convention. So thanks for having me on.
Well, you are welcome, and we're glad to have you spreading the word for sure. And Todd Saxon, what have you got going on?
Me, it's just working through the grind day in, day out, trying to stay family focused and remember the little blessings, being able to hang out with wonderful people during the weeks. Hey, let me ask while we're on there. Ms. Susan, you mind if I hit you up on Facebook?
Not a problem. You know, be more than happy to.
Thank you, ma'am. You can do that. Get that done. I want to make sure, I know we mentioned it at the beginning of the show, the Amazing Velvet, brother, can't wait till we get you back with us on the show full time, man. You started this.
Absolutely.
It's the way it should be.
Yep.
That's exactly right. And we are just keeping this show alive because we love the Amazing Velvet.
I forgot to mention. And I wouldn't feel right if I didn't mention it. The day is Sting's birthday. So happy birthday, Sting. Much love, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Birthday.
Oh, man. Congratulations. Happy birthday, my man. And anyway, wanted to thank everybody that has been on here tonight. I'll give everyone the call around. And I want to say thank you for everyone being here on the greatest indie wrestling show in the universe. And we've got great stars like Susan Green, Papa Stroh. We've got Sinister. We've got everybody. And I want to say thank you to everyone to being here. And we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, which means 9 p.m. Eastern time. Pro Wrestling Interviews, and thanks a lot. WLSC, AM and FM, Myrtle Beach and Loris. And so we're so glad to have everybody here. So have a great one, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
Okay,
we'll
see
you
all next week.
Thank you.
All right. Love you guys.
Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. Big hugs.
All right. You bet.
Buenas noches.
Bye. Love y'all guys. Bye.
You too, ma'am.
Yeah.
Where's that confounded British lady?